You're listening to the Hammersley Brothers podcast. If you'd like to get started with three of our best tools, see the link in the show notes. They're free and video training is included.
Hello and welcome to the Hammersley Brothers e-commerce podcast. This week we're talking about getting the basics right, making sure you've got those fundamentals in place that actually drive the growth over and over. It's not about that new shiny thing, so let's get started. Good morning, Ian. How are you?
Good afternoon. It's been a while, Mark. You've been on holidays.
Yeah, went to Sydney for a week, having a look at the universities for my son. It was lovely. A lot nicer weather than Auckland.
Weather. There it is.
I actually found out that Sydney's actually further away from the equator than Auckland is, but because it's closer to, because it's like on land, it's warmer. So yeah. Auckland should be warmer, but it's not. So
yeah,
it's interesting. A little fact there for you.
Nice. Listen, anyway, we had a week off, obviously. But I've got to do a little.
You didn't really, did we? We didn't, because you did a podcast with Chloe Thomas.
Oh, so I did. You felt? Yes, I did. Yeah, you're right. So I was off for holiday, and I had to do podcasts. You know, whereas you're on holiday, you don't have to do a podcast.
What's that about? You get 10
boundaries.
Points.
You've got better boundaries.
I don't think I could.
It's because I have no one else to talk to, so that's why I do a podcast still. Otherwise, I'm surrounded by like my three kids.
To be honest, your holidays aren't really holidays, are they? Three screaming children.
I've got three girls. Yeah. I've got three girls. 13, 12, and 4. It's good. We have a laugh. It's good fun. It's good fun. But I've got a shout out to do, actually, Mark, because to Luke, who from Lawn Care. Let me actually just get his business, because I was in David Lloyd. I was at the gym, and Luke came up to me. Luke Taylor from So and Mo. Came up to me and he said, are you Ian Hammersley? I was like, yes, I am Ian Hammersley. He's like, well, are you from the Hammersley Brothers? I was like, yes. I'm going to say I'm a big fan. And he was a big fan, because he knew that we talked about the weather. So we made I do appreciate your weather forecasts joke as well, which made me realize. Anyway, it's a big shout out to Luke. I have to say, I did say to Luke, this is the first time that anyone's ever recognised me from the podcast. But you know,
just started doing video though, haven't we? So people wouldn't.
No one knows our face before. Thank you. Shout out.
210 episodes or something.
200 people has ever listened to our entire podcast. that's a lot.
Oh, but like, I think 200 episodes is quite a lot of episodes if you think about it.
Well, it is. Yeah. No.
Yeah, you know, just starting. Yeah. Out. Anyway, let's talk about what we want to talk about today. And I think this came from a discussion around. Well, obviously, we're always talking to people, and we're always talking to e-commerce sites. And I think our frustration with some of the conversations we've been having recently was like, you know, let's go back to the basics. It's like, let's have the conversation about the basics. So we want to kind of have a podcast about getting the basics right, because, you know, I think a lot of the time we think that, you know, people listen to the podcast or we're working with people and they've got the basics sorted out. And you can get very far in e-commerce without actually understanding some of the basics. And you can kind of fall into success and then kind of find yourself selling and then kind of not really know exactly where you are. And that's where you get stuck, because you don't really know, you know, what's actually happening. So let's go through some of the basics, getting the basics right. Some of the things we've seen that people aren't doing or don't know, and like the things that I just think, well, I wouldn't be able to run this e-commerce business without knowing these few things. Otherwise, what's actually going to happen? So, and do you want to lead into that, Ian?
Yeah, I'll just lead into my own thoughts on that one. And I mean, the market at the moment it's fine. Yeah, there's some great growth, some great e-commerce businesses that are growing. So we're you know, end of April at the moment, but it's, you know, some great growth. And there's some businesses still who, this is like the reset year after the boom of COVID. This is like the normal year where normal seasonality is coming in. And I think there's a few that are, you know, not, they're growing, but they're not growing at the same rate that they have been growing. And they start to question it, everything, you know. So, you know, there was a quote that somebody gave me that I can't remember, but it basically said that growth, when you're growing, it masks a multitude of sins. You know, you don't look at anything that you're not doing right. You just accept the growth, you accept it. But when you're, mm-hmm. When you're not growing as quick, you start to question everything. And you can run yourself in circles, go, you know, looking at everything. And that's when, you know, you and I will go, well, surely you're going to look at this, you know, these fundamental things, you know, you're going to get those right. And it is very interesting. And I suppose it's just because you and I have looked at so many e-commerce brands for so long, you know, looking at probably 6 or 7, you know, e-commerce analytics a day, every day for the last probably 20 years, you know, you sort of get this very, you know, what's common sense to you, you know, it is only based on, you know, what you know. And yeah, and I think there was a few sort of rookie errors happening, you know, with some fairly large e-com businesses. I think now, in the time that we're in, you know, we're 2024, you know, and you know, some businesses are, you know, seeing the competitions increase, cost per clicks increasing, you know, the share of wallet is, you know, a little bit more competitive. It's very important to get the roadmap, to get the right, the, you know, the project plan, to get the right things, you know, bulleted list of what you're going to do. And there was a couple of businesses. There was one particular one who was chatting to the other week, and they were pretty flat growth, and they were starting to talk about, and they'd grown quite well, and they we just met them, and they were obsessed with the site, making sure that the website was really quick, and they were upset. There was like certain little glitches on the website that weren't amazing. The website was working, but they were like, oh, the checkout's a bit, little bit clunky, and we think that's, you know, that's good. And then I said, okay, well, right, what's your CAC? You know, what's your cost of acquisition? You know, how much can you pay to recruit a customer? We don't know. I said, right, what do you mean you don't know? Well, we just have a fixed budget. You know, we have a marketing budget that's like £15,000 a month, and you know, that seems about right. I was like, oh, my, right. So, you know, and I basically said, unless you know how much you can pay to recruit a new customer, you are literally blind. Like, you don't, A, they don't know how much they were paying to recruit. They don't know how much their budget was going on new customers. They just had a total budget. They didn't know how much customers was worth on their first purchase, and they didn't know how much they were worth over a lifetime. And I just thought, if it was my business, until I knew the answer to that question, how much I could pay to recruit a new customer, until I knew that, I wouldn't do anything else other than get that right. I'd lock myself in the room, and I wouldn't come out until I'd figured out what it was, what my margin was, and what my basic lifetime customer value. Because you basically don't know how far you can grow. They might have been able to triple their ad budget profitably, and go from there. So that was one. You want to add anything to that before I move on to my next rookie mistake?
Yeah, it's just like marketing is an investment, isn't it? It's like getting a mortgage, and if you don't know how much you can pay a month and how much, you know, you can actually put down, you don't know how big a house you can get, and therefore, if you don't know, it's basically like trying to go and buy a house without looking at your bank account or understanding how much you earn, and then you're going, well, actually, I think I can afford a flat, but you might be in a position to actually afford a much bigger house and grow much faster and do all sorts of things. And so I think, unless you can answer those two questions, you can't really run the business how it is actually, you know, supposed to be run, because you don't know the answers to those. And like, ultimately, you know, I think maybe we're misleading people a little bit by saying, oh, you know, like maybe your CAC is really low and you can be scaling a lot higher. But sometimes you'll find that you're, you know, and this happens. As soon as you look at your CAC, you realize that you're recruiting customers and you can't afford to recruit them. We've certainly seen that in a couple of cases where, you know, businesses have actually, they've gone and got some funding, maybe from a crowdfunding thing, and they've just gone and bought customers regardless of the cost, and then kind of run out of that money, and then come out of that on the other side of it and go, why aren't we making any money? And it's like, well, why can't we recruit? And it's like, well, you can't recruit at 0.5 ROAS forever, because it's basically like someone, it's like you've got a butcher shop and someone's saying, can I have some sausages? And you go, here's your sausages, and you giving them £5 as well. It's basically like losing money on every customer. So,
and sometimes it
fundamentally
takes a while.
You've got to understand where you are.
You know, sorry to interrupt you, but I'm just going to overtalk you, you know, like I do. Go for it. But I think there's still a lot of emotional decisions being made in an e-com business. The businesses that we talk to, there's still a lot of emotion there, which is fine. You know, we need emotion to drive us to be inspired and to have the determination and resilience. But we have to be careful if we listen to it, because A, you can, I mean, particularly on making decisions of what work to do and what to pay to recruit a customer. You know, and the other analogy that I've talked about a few times, which sort of I think I personally quite like, is if e-commerce business was a physical shop on the high street, you know, you first thing you would do is you decide when your opening hours are. You know, when we're going to open, should we open on a Saturday and a Sunday? Should we open for late night shopping? You know, when's our opening hours? And obviously, you decide how long to open based on how much revenue you were getting and how much the cost was. So what profit was. So should we open on a Saturday and Sunday? Would be based on, well, okay, well, how much traffic's there? How much business are we going to get? How many shoppers are going to come in? Versus what the cost is to staff it. And you'd make the simple decision, well, yeah, okay, it is worth opening on a Saturday, but not on a Sunday, for example, because, you know, we haven't got enough revenue coming through, it's not worth it. That's the first decision that you'd be making. And that is the basic, you know, a lot of e-commerce businesses don't know that. This one I was chatting to the other day, they've been going for probably about 10 years. This e-com company, and they still didn't know how much they could pay to recruit a new customer, which I thought was crazy. It really was.
Well, if you don't, basically, let's say you find out you can recruit a customer at, I don't know, $100 a customer, whatever it is, and you're currently recruiting a customer for $120, then you know what the target is. You know exactly where you've got to be and what you've got to do in order to scale the business. And like, it then changes your focus to actually answer the right questions, to say, well, is that actually going to get me to that level? Is that going to change the business? And I think that, you know, you'll see, that particularly happens when a new e-commerce manager comes into the business. We've done this before, you know, we've had e-commerce sites, we've employed e-commerce managers, and they come in with a kind of list of things that they want to do that they've seen work at their previous company that they've worked at, and they'll go, oh, we've got to change all this to do this. And it's like, well, yes, that might work, but that might have worked just for your previous e-commerce business for a start. It's probably not a playbook for every business you're going to work in. And also, fundamentally, what was the challenge you had at that other business, and what's the challenge you've got at this business? Because it otherwise, what happens is, and you see this everywhere, you'll get like a smorgasbord of shiny things that everybody wants to do. And like, there's pet peeves that people have about e-commerce sites, because if you are looking at the business, you go, well, I found the checkout a bit annoying, so I'm going to change that. Or I don't really like the way this looks. And I think that one of the biggest, without knowing what you're doing with from a fundamental kind of like KPI point of view, you are going to try and change the website to make it better for yourself, even though you are not the customer. And you are very different to the customer in that you have seen that website 10 times a day because it's your website, whereas a customer is seeing it for the first time ever. And like, I think that's another mistake, is that trying to recreate the wheel all the time in your creative because you've been around it so long, whereas let's say you're selling other people's products, it's, you know, it's about price, availability and trust. And you've been in the business such a long time that maybe they're boring to you because you're like, oh, surely it must be something else. Maybe we could do something else. And maybe we could do some other marketing things. But it's like, no, the business is fundamental. The fundamental business is the same. It stays the same. Yes, it's not that exciting, but that's what it is. And I think one of the things I wrote down that people do wrong is that the creative they try and create, they kind of like, they'll go and agency hop and try and get new creative and try and kind of recreate the creative. Whereas actually 99% of the time that doesn't work. And you'll find that the creative that works is an echo of the creative that has worked before. It's very unusual for you to be able to go and massively upscale your creative to kind of have this epiphany moment where it's completely different. If you've had success, it will be an echo of it.
Yeah, and the reason why it's dangerous to keep changing things fundamentally, because you're bored of it as a business owner. So you assume that everybody else is that most of the creative is there to recruit new customers. So because they're new, it's the first time they've seen it, so it's fresh to them. And yes, of course, you have to tweak things and you have to, you know, make sure things, you know, feel fresh. But fundamentally, the core is the same, often the same emotion. And actually, I tell you one thing. It reminds me of the, you know, when we did the meta positioning work with the men's tailoring company. Like, you know, they'd spent, I don't know, 10 years trying to get meta working, and they just couldn't really scale it. But they never really got a good ROAS on it. They couldn't really do it, and they were overcomplicating it. You know, the creative was trying to be really, really creative. And actually, it came down to, no, it's not about that. It's about one particular category. It's shirts, you know, for example, it was shirts. And it was a picture of a shirt, not on a man, just a shirt on a plain background, with a very good positioning, quality testimonial, and a strong offer. And that worked, you know, even a shirt with a man in it didn't work, you know, because you'd think, oh, they're selling like Viagra or Just for Men, or, you know, it's a bloody shirt. Anyway, I think what we're saying, because we're going to go through a few examples, is unless you know the fundamentals and you can answer, and the fundamentals, in my opinion, are how much can we afford to recruit a new customer for, and what is our current ad performance giving us in terms of new customers, and are we at that threshold? You know, you shouldn't do anything else until you can answer that one. And then it comes to some other basics. I had another call this morning actually with an American apparel business, clothing, and men's and women's, and you know, there's no email cat, like I think the Klaviyo, the pop up had gone on the site, and there's no email catcher at all. And, you know, I think when we looked at it, it's like they're getting like 1.6% of all emails as a percentage of traffic. And like we always say, okay, well, the goal is 10. And it's like, do something about that. Like, you're driving all this traffic, you're paying loads of money on ads, and you're talking about product margin and offer architecture and all sorts of things. But yet you've only got 1.7% of all email. Of all traffic's email address. And that includes people who are placing orders. So it's like you're literally leaving money on the table because they haven't got figured out their email capture. And it's like, get that done, because that's something you can do now, like this week, and that's going to have immediate impact. Yeah, so there was another conversation I had this morning, and it was an American fashion business selling women's clothing, and as I was chatting to them about, and they're performing okay. It's not fantastic, but doing all right. And we're just looking at some of like the basics, fundamentals, and it's like, where's your email capture? In fact, conversation happened twice today. Actually, what's your email capture? What's your percentage of email that you're capturing over traffic? Because we always say the benchmark 10%, and it was like 1.77% the amount of emails they're capturing. It's like really, really low. It's quite a social business. They're getting lots of traffic coming from Instagram. And of course, you get more window shoppers. So you really have to go for email and build your audience rather than try and go for the sale. So it's like, get that done. Like, stop faffing around with anything. You can do that this week, and you can go and sort out your data email capture. You can do competitions, pop-ups. You can do your monetary offers, your potential. Go and do that now, because it's literally going to cost you nothing, yet have quite a powerful impact on your ROAS. So it's simple, it's easy, it's there. Why are you not doing it? To be honest, there's nothing in my mind that is more important than that. So whatever you do that isn't that in the next 7 days is going to be a poor investment decision. Get the fundamentals.
Well, look at one of our own businesses. Look at one of our own businesses, the one that sells bedding. I mean, we haven't had any stock, so that's obviously a fundamental problem. Yeah. We haven't had any new white sheets, which has been a bit of a pain. We get the white sheets in, and then we're spending a certain amount on Google. We haven't been sending any emails, so it's been limiting what we've been spending. But because we've had 10% data capture rate, as soon as we get that stock in and we send the email, the ROAS goes up. The recruitment growth goes up, I can put the budget up again, and we can start growing again. It's like, if I hadn't had that, it'd be a completely different business. And if you ask that business you were talking to, when do you get most of your sales? And they go, when we've got a good email offer going up. And it's like, well, why wouldn't you want to augment that, amplify that? You're only going to make that better by capturing more email addresses.
Yeah.
And I think it's because the emails are captured another time, and then the email sent out maybe a couple of weeks later, that connection is not really necessarily made. But it's like, you've got to harvest. You can only harvest what you've sown. If you're not planting the seeds, you're not going to get the not going to get harvest. So if you've got a low data capture rate, it's really going to affect your business, your ability to kind of ramp that spend up to kind of keep that ROAS up, because you haven't got the second bite of the cherry. And I think it's, yeah, a lot of people on our programs get it now, but still I think a few people don't, and I think that certainly when we talk to a lot of people who come in the door for the first time and you ask them what the data capture rate is, they don't know the answer to the question.
Yeah,
and that's silly, because it's just a fundamental one, particularly with any business really. Because I think the mistake is that people think that email is all about repeat business, where it's actually a lot about first-time customers. And here's something I was thinking about this morning that I do personally a lot of the time, and I think it's the same thing in business and e-commerce, is that if you have a problem that you feel is hard, like it's a hard problem and it's causing you stress, you will look for a hard solution for it, whereas there might be an easy fix. And so stop trying to fix a problem with a hard fix that can be fixed easily just because it's hard. And like, that is typical of e-commerce. We see in our e-commerce, because obviously we're humans and we humans run e-commerce. So if you've got a recruitment problem, you're probably looking for a hard solution, whereas there might be an easy solution. And that easy solution might be increase your data capture rate. And it's like, well, how do you do that? And it's like, well, you just split test the pop-ups. You just try different things. We've done whole podcasts on how to increase your email data capture rate, and obviously we teach it in the programs. But like, there's usually easy fixes, and I think that's, I don't know, I think we're quite well known for cutting through the BS and talking about the easy fixes that are in place. And I think that, like, when I listen to other people talking, I think we always, like, like podcasts particularly, it's always trying to have the new thing, the shiny new thing, the shiny new thing. What do we want to talk about? What's, you know, what's coming out? Like there's a new Facebook campaign type or a new thing, and it's going to, like, you know, everybody's got to jump on it straight away. And it's like, well, yes, but only if that's going to get you to the recruitment numbers you want. And the question should be, you know, if I doubled my ad spend today, what would my customer recruitment cost be, and where does it need to be? And if I can't get it to where I want it to be, why can't I get it to, and what things are going to help that? You know, because I think there's, you know, you see these even at small level in the 20K core program, they'll get to $10,000 a month. And then they'll go, oh, I need to do, I've got Google ads, I need to do Facebook ads, I need to do Pinterest, I need to do TikTok. And it's like, well, why? Because it's not like, and a lot of these are American sites. Like in America, they're spending a couple of grand on Google ads. There's no way they've even, they're just like a drop of orange cordial in an ocean. No one can taste you. You know, it's completely, it's too early to diversify.
It's a big distraction as well, and another complication if you try and add another channel in too soon. You know, I mean, I wouldn't bother doing, unless that, you know, I was doing like a million a year. I wouldn't even look at any other channel really. I think I'd just go and nominate one. You know,
also look at the betting business, right? The betting business is, I don't know, doing $3 million, $4 million ish run rate kind of style. That size of business, if you go and look at those businesses that we work with, they've got 5 staff, lots of people running around, agencies, all that kind of stuff. And if you looked at inside hours, you've got like one guy, a dispatcher, and that's about it. And there's nothing else there. There's nothing in that business really, apart from support, that's happening. And I think that as you get bigger, you tend to think you need to add more complexity to the business. And you've just got to make sure that the complexity you're adding to the business actually helps you grow, rather than kind of having a business that you feel should look like that. So there's a metaphor or an example I would use that I've seen is that, you know, I've employed a lot of people over my time, and I would promote someone to be a manager, and then because they're a manager, they would go and get themselves a fancy car, and it would be because in their mind, that's what a manager would drive. It doesn't necessarily mean that I'd promoted them enough for them to afford that car, but they'd gone and done it because that was the lifestyle they thought a manager would have. And so you see that a lot, people kind of doing things because they visualize what that business is going to look like rather than what their actual business needs to look like. And so you can keep adding complexity, and you'll see this in a lot of places. And someone I'm thinking about, it's a certain lady that she's very busy doing all of the things. And yet, I bet you she could drop half of those and grow much, much faster if she just leaned into the fundamentals. And it's very difficult to know if you're doing that, but you have to be very careful when you add new things that they actually make a difference, because otherwise you'll end up adding these things and layers of these things in your business. You'll get incredibly busy, but you won't actually grow. And I think coming back to the fundamentals and having that conversation is probably a reset that a lot of people need to have.
Well, thank you for your nice summary there, Mark. I completely agree. I completely agree. It is a case of doing the basics right, and also just looking at the obvious things. I mean, so, you know, I was working with a business last week that's a big gardening business selling plants online, and I was like, right, I want to see your roadmap. I want to see what you're doing. You know, so we went through the targets, and you know, they were on one of the programs. I want to see your roadmap, and I was like, on the roadmap, it was all very hardcore technical, big integrations, some sort of like integration into some, you know, software that, I don't know, I couldn't even describe what it was, but it was like a big thing. It was going to take months, you know, months to do. Yet on the site, like on the homepage, you couldn't even click on the main homepage banner. It wasn't even clickable. And it's like, what are you doing? Like, what? That's literally going to take you 30 seconds to make that whole homepage banner clickable. Yet you're not going to do that for the next 3 months, because you're literally going to, your entire resources are going to be swallowed up by this really deep technical integration project. So, like, I just thought, wow, you know, it's so obvious. It's so obvious. I think just look at. I think basically, the question I always say, and this is quite useful, I think, whenever I go into an e-commerce business, I say, okay, if Mark and I were starting this e-commerce business today for fresh, and we had no history to worry about and no decisions, this is what we would do. You know, we would price it up. We'd have a 6% margin. We'd add a 20% buffer. We'd price it up. So we had a little bit of a recruitment deal. We had a retention deal. We'd go aggressive on the email capture, and we'd launch it in that simple way. And I think just everybody who's listening to this, I think just think, if we were starting this e-commerce brand today for the first time, what would we do? And listen to what you say, you know, and how you'd price it, and how you would, what margin you'd be building in, and what offer architecture you might be going into, and what deals and bundles you would do, and just what you would stock and what you wouldn't stock, what you might pull out of your shopping feed. You know, what you would want to have had more stuff. Like, just think about it. Just ask yourself that question. We started it again, fresh. How would we run it? And that's probably the right strategy.
And I think also, as you were talking, I think one thing that businesses need to know is, if you could sell one of your products or a category of products, which one would it be and why?
Cool.
Thank you very much, Ian.
Okay, Mark. Welcome back.
Speak to you next week.
Cheerio.
Cheers.